God is looking for a few good men and a few good women, a few young people who he can specially strengthen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. The enlistment poster says, "The Marines are looking for a few good men." In this evening's message, again taken from the life of the prophet Elisha in the book of 2 Kings, Pastor Grant explores the question, what kind of men is God looking for? For in those days, as Pastor Grant will point out from the text, good men were in short supply and hard times had come upon Israel as the result. As you listen to the message, we encourage you to have your Bibles ready to follow along as Pastor Grant will list three characteristics that must be true of the kind of man God is looking for to make a difference for His glory. Here now is Pastor Grant with this message entitled, Who is God Looking For? Pastor Grant.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the season of hope. It was the season of despair. These words from A Tale of Two Cities, written by Charles Dickens over 160 years ago, still resonate today. For the year 2020 has been such a difficult year that some would say that these are the worst of times, that this has been indeed a season of despair. But my friends, as we gather this morning, I would suggest to you that these might very well be the best of times. Because I believe we are in a time of unprecedented opportunity to make an impact for God. And today, as I speak to you on the theme, Who is God Looking For? I believe that God wants us to know that right now He's searching the entire earth for people who He intends to specially strengthen to make an impact for Him. Last week, we focused on 2 Kings chapter 9 and 10, where Jehu was anointed the king of Israel, and Jehu reigned for 28 years, and despite God's displeasure, he continued worshiping the golden calves. You remember we ended our message there talking about the fact that Jehu worshiped golden calves. After his death, his son Jehoahaz became king, and like his dad, he also worshiped the golden calves. And after reigning 17 years, Jehoahaz died, and his son Jehoash, or Joash, and if you don't mind, the text uses both names. If you don't mind, I'm going to call him Joash. That's a much easier name to pronounce. I'm going to call him Joash because that's one of his names. He became king, and guess what? He also worshiped the golden calves. Jehu's sinful practice was followed by his son and grandson, and it destroyed them all. And I want to say to dads this morning, Brother Leroy wants to work with kids, and it is so important that as we work with kids, that dads realize the incredibly important role they play in the family. And Dad, as you're listening this morning, this is free. This is not a central part of the message. This is a bonus for free. You don't even have to pay for this one. But Dad, I want you to realize that one of the greatest gifts we can give our children is to teach them to walk with God, not just by what we say. Somebody ought to say amen. Not just by what we say, but by what we do. Our behavior. Our kids need to learn to walk with God, not just by what we say, but by our behavior. There are too many dads who will tell their children, you ought to be in church, you ought to go to Sunday school, but they don't show up themselves. Are you a dad like that listening this morning? There are too many dads who tell their children not to engage in pornography, yet they have the magazines at home and they're watching it on television. There are too many dads who are telling their children not to get involved in drugs and alcohol, but they're doing it themselves. There are too many dads who are telling you to study God's word, to read the Bible, but they're not doing it themselves. My dad, are you setting an example for your child that will help your child know what it is like to walk with God? Well, Israel had fallen. Here's the amazing thing as we look at today's text. Because Elisha had been a prophet in Israel for about 60 years, but for the last 40 years, it seems as if he was sitting on the sidelines. For the last time his name was mentioned in the Bible was when Jehu was anointed king. When Jehu was anointed king, Elisha was only in ministry for about 20 years, but it appears that the last 40 years of his ministry, nobody bothered about Elisha. Israel had fallen into such apostasy that although their enemies were beating them to death, nobody, neither Jehu, Jehoahaz, or Joash, asked Elisha to intercede with God on their behalf. It is amazing. After reading Elisha's closeness to God and all that Elisha had done to Israel, it is hard to believe that for the next 40 years, for his last 40 years, nobody bothered to talk with him, although they were being, and you'll soon see in a minute how badly they had been torn apart by their enemies. God had been banished to the sidelines, and therefore Israel had no use for God's prophets. Years ago, Cheryl and I were in Lausanne, Switzerland, a city that had been at the forefront of the Protestant Reformation movement. Lausanne is a city that some of the great Protestant reformers, they were right from Lausanne. And as we traveled around the city, we were just so impressed with all the beautiful churches and the cathedrals we saw. And so we just were excited to know that unlike so many other European cities, Christianity was still thriving in Switzerland. And of course, we were expressing our excitement, and the tour guide heard us and started laughing. He said, nobody goes to church. Hardly anybody in Switzerland goes to church. He said, the churches are just museums. That was actually the word he used. He said, the churches here are just museums. None of us go to church. This country that was once at the forefront, this city that was at the forefront of the Protestant Reformation had now become apostate. God had been banished to the sidelines. Listen, I want you to realize that there are forces in America who are also seeking to banish God to the sidelines. Oh, I hope you're hearing me loud and clear. And it's almost as if God is using this experience that we're passing through to get us as believers to wake up and realize what is going on, because there are forces that are trying to ban God to the sidelines. But if there was ever a time America needed the Lord, the time is right now. But sadly, some Christians have become distracted by the turmoil in our society. In a few weeks, I'm going to touch on this again, because I'm very distressed to see how the Christians, we're fighting each other. The devil is laughing while the Christian church fights each other. We have forgotten, we have been so distracted that we have forgotten that we are the only ones to which God has committed the only message that brings eternal transformation. I'm here to tell you, there's still power in the gospel, amen? That the gospel is still the power of God unto salvation to anyone who believes. And I want you to know, this gospel is a unifying message. And we have to talk about that because we're using the gospel to divide. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel that brings every blood-bought believer into one family. And my friend, you better not allow the devil to let you throw a stone at any other believer in Jesus Christ, whether they are red, yellow, black, and white. We are part of the one body of Christ, bought by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Listen, the other folks may want to throw stones, but here at GCA, we'll stand flat-footed on the word of God, and we will stand for the family of God, and we will proclaim, thus saith the Lord, and we will proclaim the truth of God. And I am suggesting to you, my friend, that this is a time of unprecedented opportunity to make impact for God. But God is looking for a few good men. A few good women, a few good teenagers. Are you listening to me this morning? God is looking for a few good men and women whom he can specially empower. Don't miss this. He wants to specially empower a few people to impact this generation. I'm going to put the scripture. Every Christian ought to have this one written down. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. If you have your Bible, take it out and mark that verse. We're going to put it on the screen for the benefit of those who don't have their Bibles with them, as well as for our audience. But 2 Chronicles chapter 16 verse 9. Here's what it says. It says, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is looking for somebody. God is looking for a few good men and a few good women, a few young people who he can specially strengthen.
Stay tuned for the conclusion of today's broadcast. To help with your personal walk with God, Pastor Grant has made available printed outlines of today's message with all the scriptures referenced. For your copy, please visit our website, livinggodsway.org, that's livinggodsway.org, or call our office at 215-242-5550. Once again, 215-242-5550. And now let's return to Pastor Grant for the conclusion of today's message.
Do you want to be one of these individuals who God specially strengthens? There are three characteristics of the person God is looking for that I'd like to share with you from this text. Here's the first thing I want to share with you this morning as we talk about who is God looking for. The first thing I want to suggest to you is that God is looking for someone who keeps short accounts with him. God is not looking for someone that's sinless. For 1 John chapter 1 verse 8 tells us that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. God is not looking for somebody that's sinless. Aren't you glad about that? You see, God is looking for somebody who is willing to keep short accounts, because the person who keeps short accounts, they won't be sinless, but they will sin less. Amen. You say, Pastor, what do you mean when you talk about keeping short accounts with God? Some of you are old enough to remember the days when there were no supermarkets. Anybody old enough to remember when there were no supermarkets? The day when there were no supermarkets. Leroy, you're too young for that. But there was a time that there were no supermarkets, just grocery stores. Of course, we in Jamaica, we got the supermarkets a little later than you folks here. So some of you who are my age in America, you probably don't know that day. But when I was born and my early years, there was no such thing as a supermarket. You had a grocery store, and the you know, the family would go to the grocery store. And if you were, you know, if the grocer felt he could trust you, he had a little account book, and you could get your stuff without paying. Yes, you could go in, and he would write down what you got, what you bought, and how much you owed him. And every week you'd go back. Anybody know all about that stuff? You'd go on, and he'd add to your list. And at the end of the month was pay up time. The people who kept short accounts are the people that right at the end of the month, they took care of business. They took care of their bill. They immediately, as the bill was due, they took care of it. They didn't allow this month's bill to roll up into next month. You know, God records every sin we do. Well, I know you say, but don't you say God has cleansed us from all our sin? Yes. But you better believe God is making a note of the sins we do, because every time a believer sins, it damages our fellowship. It doesn't damage our relationship. The relationship is solid, but our fellowship is broken every time we sin. And listen, those who keep short accounts with God are people who take care of their bill on time. Oh, I can hear somebody now saying, Pastor, I'm just so glad you just told us I have a whole month to get rid of my sin. I didn't tell you that. I told you the grocer gave you a month. But God is not running a grocery business. Am I right about that? So what God is expecting, stay with me now. God is expecting, young man, teenager, listen, the minute we sin, we must settle the bill. The person, the Christian who keeps short accounts with God, settles their account with God the moment they sin. Now, sometimes we don't take care of sin right away. We allow it to roll up. Listen, God wants us to keep short accounts with Him. Israel was not keeping short accounts with God. Look at verse 3. Let me look at 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 3, 6, and 7. Verse number 3, the anger of the Lord was aroused against Israel, and He delivered them into the hand of Hazael, king of Syria, and into the hand of Ben-Hadad, the son of Hazael, all their days. Verse number 6, nevertheless, they did not depart from the sins of the house of Jeroboam, who had made Israel sin, but walked in them, and the wooden image also remained in Samaria, for he left of the army of Jehoahaz only 50 horsemen, 10 chariots, 10,000 foot soldiers, for the king of Syria had destroyed them and made them like the dust at threshing. Listen, Israel had been reduced to a shadow of what they once were. But they were still rebellious. They continued to worship idols. You know, I did a little research and I discovered that during David's time, during King David's time, Israel had at one point 1.6 million troops. Now, in case you don't realize it, I also looked this up, and the United States right now has 1.3 million active men and women in the military. Israel once had, in the time of David, more active troops than we do in the United States of America. But listen, because of their rebellion, you see what the text tells us, how badly they had fallen. They were now just a shadow of what they once were. They now only had 10,000. The Bible takes the time to tell you 10,000 foot soldiers was all that was left. There were little more than Philadelphia's police force. 50 horsemen. I think we got more than 50 people on horses in Philly. And 10 chariots. The military was now, listen good. It was less than 1% of what it used to be. Because of sin, they had experienced devastation, but they would not repent. You know, there are folks like that today. They're in a sinking boat, but they'd rather sink than grab hold of God's lifeline. I know I'm speaking to somebody this morning. Your life is a mess. You've heard the gospel over and over and over, but you're rebelling against God. You're continuing to do it your way. You're everything. Listen, your parents taught you the word of God, but you have rebelled and you're walking contrary to the things of God. And your life is a mess, but you're still continuing. What is it going to take to shake you? What is it going to take to bring you to God? Listen, Jesus is not going to die again. He already died for your sin. And my friend, listen, there is no salvation in no other. Jesus is the only way. And this morning we encourage you to come to Him. Grab a hold of Him. He will save you. He will rescue you. He will deliver you. Amen. But there are Christians like that too. They're living in sin, but they're refusing to turn. This morning, God is asking you, my friend, you might be here this morning, you might be watching, and you're refusing to turn. God is asking every single one of us. This is not just for the preachers. God is asking us, every one of us who named the name of Jesus, to keep short accounts to Him. Don't allow your sin to pile up. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 is a verse we know very well, but let's put it on the board anyhow. 1 John chapter 1. Verse 9, here's what it tells us. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to what? To cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all wickedness. Amen. Hey, don't think that what God is saying is that at the end of every day, you say, Lord, forgive me for all the sins I did today. That's not keeping short accounts. Short accounts is when you sinned at 10 o'clock. You prayed to God about the sin you just did at 10 o'clock. And you name it. Own it. God, you saw that lie I told. Would you forgive me? That's keeping short accounts. You claim the sin. You actually state what it is you did. And you do it. And God says, when we do this, when we keep short accounts with Him and we confess the sins we know about, guess what? There are some sins you do that you don't even realize you did it. He says, when you acknowledge the ones you know about, He's going to cleanse you from all other wickedness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There can be a clean, clear way between us and God. Have you been keeping short accounts with God? If you haven't, I trust you'll start today. But listen, God is not only looking for someone who keeps short accounts with Him, but secondly, God is looking for someone brimming with faith in His promises. God is looking for someone brimming in faith with His promises. I'm reading from 2 Kings chapter 13, verse 14 to 17. Elisha had become sick with the illness of which he would die. Then Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariots of Israel and their horsemen." And Elisha said to him, "Take a bow and some arrows." So he took himself a bow and some arrows. Then he said to the king of Israel, "Put your hand on the bow." So he put his hand on it. And Elisha put his hands on the king's hands. And he said, "Open the east window," and he opened it. Then Elisha said, "Shoot," and he shot. Ha, you say, so what? Elisha was one of Israel's great iconic figures, and he was now extremely sick and was not expected to recover. And Joash the king went to pay tribute to him, and during the visit, the prophet rested his hand on the king and told him to shoot an arrow through the east window. Why the east window? This was very significant. You see, the king of Syria had been seizing Israel's territory to the east. And Elisha was telling Joash to shoot the arrows towards the land that had been captured by the Syrians. And note what Elisha said after Joash shot the arrow. I'm reading verse number 17. I'm going to pick up in the middle of verse 17. Here is what Elisha said after the king shot the arrow. Elisha said, "The arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria, for you must strike the Syrians at Aphek till you have destroyed them." I hope you get what Elisha was saying. Elisha was telling him that God intended to deliver all the territories to the east that had been captured by the Syrians, but that he was telling the king, "But listen, King Joash, you're going to have to keep striking the Syrians until you destroy them."
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner and need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.